So last week I talked about the dinner church, and how many know that what we just heard is basically the dinner church? It is an outreach to our community, and basically what they did there we want to do in our own community. So I just want to kind of emphasize that as we move forward here today. All right, ready with the slides? If you would, put the first one up, please. All right. So I want to talk about holiday peace. And going into the holidays, we all kind of look forward to the holidays, and this is what we kind of look like. There's smiles on our face. By the time the holiday season is over and the new year comes around, those smiles may not be on our face. And so I'm going to give you a little advice that Paul gives us here that will help you to keep a smile throughout the holidays, no matter what happens. And how many know that when we get together with family, things happen? And sometimes they're not very pleasant things. And so we're going to look at what Paul says here in Philippians chapter 4. What took place there, the first two verses we read will kind of set up what Paul will write afterwards, because we want you to have an enjoyable holiday season. And that's going to be our prayer. But I want to lay it at your feet here today that you can make a difference. You can make a difference in your home and in your family. So let's begin there at Philippians chapter 4. It says, I plead with the first lady's name. And I plead with the second lady's name to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. So what I want you to do, I want you to see what's being said here. Encounters of the third kind. All right. So what was happening in the church in Philippi, there was two women that were not getting along. And these were co-workers with Paul. We saw the first lady, we see the second lady, and he is endorsing them. They're saying, these are great women, these are women that worked with me in the ministry of the church there in Philippi, along with Clement and the others. And he is saying they're not living up to their names because there was a cat fight. How many know that women's fighting is better than watching men fighting? There's just something about two women fighting that is just a little bit more exciting than men. Men are kind of predictable, but ladies, man, they're all in, and you never know what to expect. But anyway, there was a fight going on within the church, and they were not living up to their names. And so the first lady's name means prosperous journey. And the second lady's name means pleasant acquaintance. And so this was not exactly what was happening in the church at this time. And so Paul is addressing the church, and he found it very important that as he's closing the letter to the Philippian church, the church of Philippi, that he has to address the situation. You need to realize that Paul is sitting in prison. And somehow a message gets to him that there is some trouble going on in the church in Philippi. And so he writes it for not only them to read, but how many know it's for us here today to read also? And so we know that there is some benefit that we can get out of this story here today. So Paul called an individual in the church that he referred to as the true companion and said, hey, these women aren't getting it together, and I want you to help these women to get on the same page. And so the absence of peace in the local body had to be dealt with. And so I want to take that as a reference to where we're going here today. Most of us look forward to the holidays. And there are many reasons why we look forward to the holidays. Some of it is we get time off. Amen? You take time off of work, right? You get time off of school. That's always good, isn't it? The food. How many know there is lots of food during the holidays? There's probably more food eaten during that holiday than sometimes that we have over the rest of the year. And so these are some of the things that we're looking at here today. And so I lost my place in my notes. Okay. Also, how many like to receive presents? Amen. So this is all kind of wrapped up within this holiday season. But I hope the biggest thing that you're anticipating is that you're going to be spending time with family and friends, right? It's a time of seasons that where maybe you haven't seen your family for a good portion of time, and this is the time they come back in the town and we get together and spend time together. But unfortunately, the time off, the food, and the presents sometimes are the best part of the holiday season. And so through the years, I've heard people tell of their stories, their testimonies of how they spent their holiday season. And some of you, even in here, you experience the holidays like the Waltons, the Huxtables. How many know the Huxtables? Bill Crosby's family. Or the Blue Bloods, right? The Reagans. Some of you really enjoy each other's company. But there are also others that are experiencing the holidays like the Barones. Everyone loves Raymond. Or the Bunkers. Right? So there is sometimes, we have a little bit of this going on within our body. For those looking forward to the holidays and feeling your stress level already rising because you're already anticipating certain people to show up. And you know they bring a lot of baggage, they bring a lot of trouble, they bring a lot of strife with them. Amen? You know they're coming. And they're peace robbers. They take the air out of your balloon for the holiday. And so, I want to give you some advice here today. How do we deal with these individuals? How do we get through the holiday unscarred? How do we get through the holiday experiencing God's presence and His peace? Because Paul tells us, because he begins this chapter with saying, hey, there's some trouble in paradise. These two women aren't getting along. And so he's going to lay out how to deal with these ladies, how to deal with this trouble in the church. But I want you to take that here today. You may be the Waltons and everything may be fine at your house. But the more I talk to people, the more I understand that it's not true. We're more like the Barones. There's more of us on that side than the other side. And so, let's listen what Paul says as he writes here and goes on. He gives us some directives. How can we experience peace in the midst of chaos? Hallelujah. Amen. God bless us, everyone, right? Amen, as we go into the holiday season. All right. So, keep in mind, there's two women that are putting strain on the unity and the peace and the celebration of the church. And so I want you to keep that in mind as we go forward, because some of our homes, some of our family gatherings aren't so peaceful either. So the first thing that Paul says, he writes this and says, rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say rejoice. So it's all about focus. Where are you going to focus this holiday? This isn't about you. The season isn't about others. It's about Jesus Christ. The holidays are about the Lord. When we come to this Thanksgiving season, we will gather together as families, and hopefully you will be giving thanks to God for a wonderful, blessed year. I don't know about you, but there are families that will gather over this holiday, and they won't be thanking anybody for anything. It is a holiday. But as believers today, we have someone that we recognize and are thankful to, and his name is Jesus Christ. We go into the Christmas season and we are focused not on Santa Claus. We're not on the gifts, not the trees, not the celebration, not the decorations, but we are focused on what? Jesus Christ. And how many know in our culture today that Jesus Christ does not even play in the lives of many families that will gather and celebrate Christmas? What a shame. So we need to focus. Rejoice in the Lord always, and I say again, rejoice. So what Paul is reminding the church here is he says, remain in an attitude of worship. So if your eyes are going to get on everything else but Jesus, he says, it's time to refocus. We have the promise of God's presence. God inhabits what? The praises of his people. That is why we are called to rejoice in the Lord. And I say again, rejoice. So Paul reinforces this. He says, always, all the time, constantly, consistently, never stop. He's emphatic. Keep your eyes on Jesus during this season. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. So he goes on and says, that's the first thing you do, focus on Jesus. Secondly, let your gentleness be evident to all, because the Lord is near. How many know, because Christ dwells in us, we have the nature of Christ? How many know that? We take on the personality and the characteristics of Jesus Christ in our lives when we have Jesus in us. So he has given us, in Galatians chapter 5, if you'll put up there. How many are familiar with this? How many know this is supposed to describe who we are as believers today? Let's read it together. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So in that list, let your gentleness be evident to all, because why? The Lord is near. He can't get any nearer than inside of you. He is inside of you here today. It's not something we work up. It is something we own, because the Holy Spirit lives in us. Does it not say, let your gentleness? Should be something that is already in you and part of you, and something you should already be demonstrating in your life. We are the showcase of God's presence. He is not only with us, but he is in us. And that is the promise that we have here today. Growing up, when we went places, we always heard this from our parents, be on your best behavior. And that's what Paul's saying here to the church. He said, it's time for you to be on your best behavior. People will know we are disciples because what? We love, right? And love is the basis of the rest of this fruit. It is the foundation. That's why it's listed first here today. So he says, let your gentleness be evident to all, because he is near. Because he's in us. Wherever you are, that's where Jesus is. So he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Then he says, let your gentleness be evident to all. And then he goes on and says this, a verse we often take out of context. He says this, do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, we memorize it, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, what? Present your requests to God. Some of you are already, your blood pressure is already going up. We haven't even got into the season, and some of you are already worried about preparations for the holidays. Some of you are already, your blood pressure is going up because you know certain people are going to be there. Are you already talking about it? Are you thinking about it? Are you thinking about what's this year going to bring? We've had fist fights at our Christmas gatherings. Woo! Hallelujah. This Thanksgiving, we'll be celebrating with one part of my family, and on Friday, we'll be celebrating with the other because they don't get along. Hallelujah. Gotta love them. They're family, all right. Amen. So, what are we expecting this year? What are we thinking about? What are we already preparing for it mentally and spiritually? Rawr. Folks, it's not just about enduring the holiday, getting through it. Remember that first picture? We go in smiling. Our idea is to come out smiling. Amen? To have the victory. So Paul is writing this, and he's saying this is not a suggestion. He says, if we know that particular places, situations, people, or conversations will set you off, folks, we need to be prayed up. Jude wrote in his book, build yourself up by what? Praying in the Holy Ghost. He's saying you should be prayed up. Not when you're in the midst of the chaos, begin to pray, when everything's blowing up, but before you even get into the fray, hallelujah, be praying. Prayer changes things. Hallelujah. But how many know pretty much more than changing things, it changes us? And so, prayer changes things, it changes us, it equips us and empowers us to positively influence others. Prayer and petitions, it says in this scripture, usually focuses on the problem, right? We have a problem, what do? We take it to the Lord and say, Lord, this is it. This is the situation. We need you to do something about it. Here's your promise. And in a way, we're also saying, God, this is my expectation, how I want you to answer it. But how many know God doesn't always work that way? But prayer and petition is usually focused on the problem or the need and how we think God should do it. Come on, am I the only one? Right? We have in our mind how we think God should answer that prayer. But our responsibility is to what? Present our requests to God. That is our responsibility. Thanksgiving helps us focus on what God has done and what he can do. It focuses on God's capabilities to meet our needs. So thanksgiving is an expression of faith that God will meet the need on his timetable and in his preference, how he prefers. Do you agree? Disagree? Amen? That's what thanksgiving is. It is an expression of faith. Because what? God has worked in our life. We've seen how he works. We're thankful for his handiwork. We're thankful for him intervening. We're thankful for God providing. And with that, what? We're thankful for the past, but it also gives us confidence for the present and the future. That's what thanksgiving does, because what God has done in the past, God can do again. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith, let's put it this way. Now the giving of thanks is confidence in what we hope for and an assurance about what we do not see. Sounds fair that we could put that in there, right? Isn't that what thanksgiving is? Is it an expression of faith? That what God did, he can do again. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything. By prayer, with thanksgiving, all right, we can experience God's peace. Paul goes on. It says in the next verse, and the peace of God, which transcends or goes beyond all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Wouldn't it be nice to go into a holiday season already equipped with the peace of God? Wouldn't it be wonderful to go in knowing that it's going to be different? It means putting on the armor of God. So before you step into this holiday season, I'm encouraging you to go to Ephesians chapter 6. I encourage you to put on the armor of God. Because how many know it's a battle sometimes dealing with individuals? What are we supposed to put on? The helmet of what? The breastplate of? We gird our loins with? We shod our feet with what? Okay, we have the shield of and the sword of. Okay. All right. So we are to put on the armor of God. And what does the shield of faith do? Quenches the fiery darts of the enemy. So as we gather together, as we know, as we get together, how many know there are going to be some political darts that are going to be thrown? We have people on both sides in my family. And how many know those political darts are going to be thrown? And there are going to be some conversations. In our home, we have people that have theological darts that will be thrown. We come from different denominations. We come from different backgrounds, Pentecostal versus mainstream. And so they're going to be thrown. How about social and moral darts, right? Our country is split, folks, on these moral issues, these social issues that have encumbered our nation. How about family dysfunctional darts? How many? No, there's family dynamics that bring out trouble. We have people in our family that have money. We have people in our family that don't have money. We have people that have an education. We have those that do not have an education. We have those that have more. Some have less. How many know there's some strong personalities within our families, right? There are favorites. Oh, no, no, no. Parents, you don't have any favorites. Nah. You don't. All right. All right. My mom would always have that conversation. I have a favorite, but I'm not telling you who it is. But we need to be prepared, right? Think about it. We know that these darts are going to be thrown. So why don't we go into this holiday wearing the full armor of God, ready to what? Quench those fiery darts. The peace of God, we can't comprehend it, right? It transcends our understanding. It's a supernatural force field that guards our hearts and minds. If we give the devil a place in our hearts and our minds, we will be robbed of the peace that God has promised is ours. So why not start preparing yourselves now instead of, as I said, in the middle of the fray? You know, when Jesus and his disciples went across the Sea of Galilee, you know there was only one person sleeping in the boat? Do you know there was only one person that had peace? Right? Folks, why can't we go into this holiday being the one who has that peace? Paul goes on and he says, finally. Remember why all this has happened. There's two ladies fighting at the beginning of the chapter here. And so Paul is saying, this is a solution. This is something, if you'll do these things, it will help the whole body, not just these two women. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, what's it say? Think. Man, that's dangerous ground. Think. Think about such things. We have a lot of thinking going on, but they're not on these things. And they don't have these characteristics. So get your head in the game before you even get there. Before the holiday season even approaches. Paul directs us to bring our thoughts into captivity in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 5. Bring our thoughts into captivity. How do we do that? By thinking on these things that we read here in verse 8. How many know you can only think about one thing at a time? You can do multiple things, but you can only think about one thing at a time. So it's time to think on these things and not on the situation, the conversations, the people. Our thoughts must become aligned with God's word, his will, and become declarations of words of faith. How about if you start speaking over this holiday season? We sing a song, you know, speak Jesus. How about you start speaking Jesus over this holiday season? Over these individuals, these circumstances, these families. Jesus said this in Mark chapter 11. This is the faith scriptures, but how many know this gets us prepared? It says there in Mark 11, 23, truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, I'm going to tell you, family problems, family confusion, family division, folks, is a mountain. It is a mountain. My mom has told me throughout the years, our family will never be like Karen's family. Karen's family, when they got together, it didn't matter. Some of them were downright sinners. But when they got together, they were all on the same page. They were the Waltons. When my family gets together, we're the Barones, okay? We're the Barones. And so her confession is, we'll never be like them. So you might as well get it in your head. But I'm believing otherwise. I'm believing for a change in my family. I'm believing that siblings are going to get along. I'm believing for healed relationships that have been broken. Truly, I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what they will say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask, that's what we want to do for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. But it goes on here, and it's an important verse here that we kind of leave out in verse 25. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. Folks, we need to go into this holiday with a clean slate. Some of us need to get rid of some resentment, some faulty thinking, some bad thinking, because we're going into the holiday thing. I know they're going to be there, and I know they're going to do that. I know they're going to do this. Folks, let's forgive. Let's forgive it. Let's start in with a clean slate. Because Jesus even said in the Lord's Prayer, right? Forgive us our debts as we forgive their debts, their sins, their trespasses against us, right? And even after that, in one of the Gospels, it says, if you can't forgive someone, then I can't forgive you. So let's go into the holiday season with forgiveness, with a clean slate, saying, Lord, I don't know what they're going to do, but I'm not going to have anything against them as I enter into this holiday season with them. Think about such things. What are we thinking and praying about when it comes to bridging the strained relationships in our families? Are we thinking about those things that are true and honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and worthy of praise? You see, peace with others begins with a desire. Is it your desire to get along with everyone in your family? How many know that this morning you picked a seat, right? How many know you can pick your friends? How many know you can pick your nose? How many know you can't pick your family? But you can choose to get along with them. And folks, our family should be our best friends. They should be. So peace begins with a desire. It leads to prayer, to right thinking, and then stepping out in faith and acting as if it was so. Instead of us going in with our guard up, ready for our responses, hey, let it go. If you're right, you're right. Why would you have to defend your right? Right? Go in prepared. Go in with the armor of God, that no matter what they say, no matter what they do, those darts are going to be quenched. Because it's not a big deal. You already know where you believe. You know where you're heading. And you're not going to change your mind in that situation anyway. They come in to do battle. How about we surprise them? and turn the other cheek. Woo! Some of us have a hard time turning that cheek. We're pretty quick with the tongue. So that's part of bringing our thoughts into captivity, is also guarding the words that come out of our mouth. So desire, prayer, right thinking, and stepping out in faith. Don't take the bait. They're going to bait you. They're going to try to push your button. Prove them wrong. Prove them wrong. All right? You have the Holy Spirit. You have the presence of God. You have the armor of God. Go in ready. Ready. So Paul ends with this verse. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. You ever wonder how others manage to have a peaceful family gathering? And I've heard testimonies. Some of you in here, you get together, man, you have a blast with your family. And maybe some of us that are struggling, maybe we should ask you, how do you do it? How you pull it off, right? This is what Paul told the two women in the church in Philippi. When I was among you, I told you what to do. I told you how to act. And when I was among you, I walked in it. I did what I said. He walked it out. How many know we're supposed to just do it, right? James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. And that's what Paul's saying here. You watched me talk it. You watched me walk it. Now just do it. Do it. So when we step out of faith and practice God's word, miraculous things happen. Isn't that amazing that God is faithful to his word? God is the God of restoration and peace. And that's what I'm believing for my family. So holidays were created to be times of rejoicing, time of friendship, intimacy, a time when we got along with our families as if they were our friends. So, if you'll come, let me do a quick review here of all that Paul said. Don't let the devil steal your joy. Rejoice, and again I say rejoice, and focus on Jesus. He is the reason for all this season. Draw near to Jesus and let your gentleness, it's your choice. It's already in you. If you have the Holy Spirit living in you and you accepted Christ, guess what? It's in you. Let your gentleness control your environment. Be the catalyst for change. Don't get uptight about anything, but pray about everything. Pray with and petitions, and remember to give thanks. Let God's peace overwhelm you, flood you, and overwhelm you, and protect you. Dictate the route of your thoughts and your mouth. Bring stuff into captivity. James said, well, you're a perfect person if you can shut your mouth. You know, we often heard, you know, you don't know what all the things I could say, what I'm thinking. But how many know we need to correct this so this is correct? So WWPD, what would Paul do? Right? Paul told you what he would do. He told him how to do it. Some of you here could be a great resource and encouragement to us if we could come to you and say, what do you do at your family gatherings? How do you guys get along? Maybe we're missing something, right? Result of following these Paul's advice here. He said, God's peace will be with you. Twice, he says, you can experience peace. That's his promise. He wants us to live in peace. If we can't live in peace with our family, man, who can we live in peace with? These are part of us. They're part of our DNA. I'm telling you, I'm kind of taking some steps here before I even go into this holiday season and applying some of Paul's advice here. So holiday peace for some, it comes naturally for some, or at least it seems natural. I know there's some work to it. For others, it may take a lot more work. But all I know is for all of us, it is God's will. It is God's will. Paul has given us some keys here to a more peaceful holiday season. And I'm just giving you this advice. If you have to, go back to Philippians chapter 4 and kind of get it in your spirit. And it would be kind of good to have some testimonies maybe after the holiday season and say, hey, how was your holiday season? And you don't have to roll your eyes and go, oh, you. But you could have a testimony and say, it's amazing what God has done. It was the best holiday season that we had. It begins with us. These two ladies were fighting. And we know, going into this holiday season, we know who the fighters are. We know who the troublemakers are. Why can't we go in prepared? Why can't we be like the individual that Paul called on and said, can you help these ladies? Can you help these? Can we be that helper this holiday season to go into our family situations and be the peacemaker? Blessed are the peacemakers. Can we be that? Can that be our prayer? But it begins with us. Let's bow our heads here today. If you're in this house today and Jesus isn't part of your holiday seasons, I encourage you here today to make Jesus part of these holiday seasons. Make him part of Thanksgiving. Make him part of this Christmas season. He's the center of it. How can we celebrate without him? And if you need Jesus in your heart, I just want to encourage you, make that decision today and take him into the holiday, because it's about him anyway. And he would love to share the holiday with you. It's not just about saying a prayer. I heard an interview years ago with Rich Mullins about, they asked, when did you get saved? And he said, I don't know. I don't have a date. I don't have a moment. It's just that I started following Jesus and it became my life. Some of us have a date written maybe in our Bible, the day we accepted Jesus Christ. But it's not just about a prayer. It's about saying a prayer, believing the prayer, and living the prayer. And I want to encourage you, if you haven't been living that prayer out in your life, you need to start today to live it out. Say, Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life. Not just the Savior. I want you to be the Lord. I want you to be the boss. I want you to lead me. I want to give you all that I am and all that I have. And I want to follow you. Say it, believe it. And as you walk out the doors of this church, you start living it. You start living it. But maybe you're also here today, and you have some difficult family dynamics. And you want healing to come to our families. You want unity. You want to be glad to see them and not dread seeing them. I want to encourage you today. Follow Paul's advice. He laid it out for us. It has to do not so much with them, but everything to do with us. Let him change you. Let him prepare you. Let him do his work in you and be that catalyst to bring love into this holiday season. I just want to encourage, the altar call is this morning. If you want Jesus to be Lord of your life, I just want you to stand where you're at. But if your family's a mess, and you know that every year there's just something new that comes up or something, or the same old same, and you just like to see a change happen, I just encourage you to stand where you're at here today. Who would be honest? I'll be the first one to stand. I want the dynamics of my house to be different. Anybody else would be honest and say, hey, things could be better in our family relationships. Forgiveness needs to be had. We need to enjoy the peace and the joy of the holiday seasons together. Anybody else? This is just an opportunity. I've talked to some of you. And I've heard some of your Christmas stories, your holiday stories. I'm not just talking about your immediate family. I'm talking about your extended family. Anybody else? This is just an opportunity to be honest. This is an opportunity to say, Lord, I want you to enter in. I want you to be Lord of this holiday. I want to be that vessel that you use. Anybody else? I don't want to drag it out because I've talked to some of you and you're not standing. So you can walk out. You can listen to what I do and apply it. That's fine. But we're just going to pray over these that are standing here today because we love our families. We want them to know Jesus. We want Jesus to be the center of our families. I'm not going to milk this out any longer, but it's just, it's a reality. It's a reality. Father, we just come to you today, and Father, our desire is not to be that family on TV that we watch and we laugh at because they don't get along and they every episode is just another issue, a problem. But Father, we want to go into this holiday season, Lord, prepared. Today, Father, we ask that you would bring healing to our hearts, first of all. Lord, if we're part of the problem, Lord, we ask forgiveness here today. We want to be part of the solution. We want to be a vessel that the Holy Spirit can use this holiday season. Lord, we speak your name over this situation, these households, these families in the name of Jesus, Lord. Lord, there are family members that need to be saved. And Father, if we're in battle with them, there's no way we're going to convince them of the love of Jesus if we can't love them. Begin it in our heart. Overflow our hearts today, Lord. The Bible says we love because you first loved us, Lord. Let us walk in the fruit of the Spirit, Lord. We want our love and our gentleness, Lord, our patience and our long-suffering and our self-control, Lord, to be the driving force in this holiday, Lord. Where, Lord, we don't back down. We're not doormats, Lord. But, Lord, we are people filled with the Spirit of God and the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. Lord, we ask that we become those instruments of change. We become those catalysts within our home. That when things are said, Lord, we will bring those thoughts into captivity, Lord, and we will shut our mouths, and only grace will come out. Love will come out. Mercy will come out. Forgiveness will come out. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray for each family that's represented here today, Father. And Lord, this holiday season is important. Not just for us, but people are watching our lives. People at work our extended family, our neighbors. They know who we are, and they're watching. And Father, we're praying that this season, Lord, this season we will be the light, that we will be the salt. We will be the reason that they are being drawn closer to you, because Jesus is near. He's in us. I just pray a blessing in the name of Jesus, Lord. I pray that they'll take on the whole armor of God, that they'll be ready, Father. They'll be ready, prayed up, ready to go in, and Lord, ready to serve, ready to be whatever you need them to be, to say the words that you need them to say, to do the things they need to do. But also, Lord, help us guard our tongues. Help us to guard our actions, Lord. Whatever we do, no matter what we do, it says, whether we eat or drink, do whatever, do it as unto the Lord. I pray that that'll be our motivation. That'll be who we are going into this holiday season. I pray a blessing on these that have stood. I pray, Lord, over them today. And I just believe in God for some good things to happen. Lord, they may be minute things. They may be big things. But I pray that you will give us the ability to see the difference that it's making. That we can walk away and say, hey, you know, God did this. God did that. God did this. Hallelujah. We open up ourselves, Lord, to be used by you. I pray this Thanksgiving, Lord, a blessing over each and every family of our church. Lord, I pray that you will help them have a fantastic Thanksgiving, God. And may the joy and the peace of the season begin, Lord, as we gather together. Hallelujah. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. See their smiling faces? This is what we want to see. In January, when we all get together after the holiday season, not because we got drunk on New Year's Eve, right? Come back with a testimony of God's goodness. Amen. So I've kept you a long time. So just a thank you from our family to yours. Happy Thanksgiving. Thank you for blessing us as staff this past month. And we wish you the best going into this season.